Hello and welcome to another episode of Southwest Ohio Full Court Press. I am your host, Tony Peters. Thank you for tuning in to another episode. It is Monday evening. We're a day behind when we usually do our power ranking update, but it's later is better than never. So we are going to update the power rankings today, as well as go over this past week, what happened on the basketball scene. Not a lot to report in terms of movement, and we actually are not going to do a games to watch this week. We're going to take a break from that just for this week. We'll be back to it next week for sure. So with that, let's go ahead and get started. Division One, this is really continues to be the theme. You've got the top four remain the same. Centerville at one, Wayne at two, Miamisburg at three, West Carrollton at four. This week, coming in at number five, will be the Butler Aviators. Starting from the top, Centerville, they were on a break to start the season. They are back into playing basketball games. They beat Cincinnati Woodward 75-70. That was a big win over Paul McMillan IV and his Woodward team. That is one of the best teams in Cincinnati in Division II. And then Centerville Friday night putting on a clinic, getting their revenge against Miamisburg, 71-49. Seth and I had talked a couple times leading up to that game about how that could potentially go a negative direction for the Vikings. You know, Centerville had lost that first game on a buzzer beater. A lot of credit was being given to Miamisburg across the state for that win. So Centerville felt like they needed to really step out and make a statement, and they certainly did in this one. Number two with Wayne, they only had one game this week. After just playing Miamisburg two Fridays ago, they played Miamisburg a second time this past week. 59-49 final score. Wayne wins that one. Season sweep on the Vikings. Wayne continues to look very solid, and we will see if they can continue to win. They have a rematch with Centerville coming up soon, and that's going to really determine – that will determine whether Wayne gets an outright title or if they will be splitting with Centerville this year. excuse me. Miamisburg comes in at three. They're going to hold that three spot, even though the record is 11-5 now. They have the losses to Wayne and Centerville. These top three, it's hard to fight against them. West Carrollton at four has a solid argument recently, but I feel like on paper, Miamisburg is the better team right now. Speaking of the Pirates at four, they had a busy week this week, beating Sydney and Piqua, beating Sydney 62-58 and Piqua 57-55. They did beat Butler as well, 54-49. For the Pirates right now, they have been playing the last 2 weeks without some of their starters. They've had a couple guys. Freshman Javen Vaughn has done a really good job stepping up. The Pirates right now could be without some players as we continue onward. I'm going to wait until those become official before I report anything on that. But those four are really your top four. Butler coming back into the top five. They beat Troy 61-51 and obviously lost to West Carrollton. Butler gets this win. Up until this point, Troy had the head-to-head over Butler because Troy had beat them earlier in the season. With this win, Butler now evens the score. And frankly, Butler has looked a lot better over the last couple of weeks, and they didn't even have Tyler Monahue for some of their games. For Troy, they're still in the honorable mention this week. There's no denying that. They're also 8-5. It's going to be interesting to see them and Butler. Will they continue to teeter-totter in that number five spot? Also in the honorable mention this week, Franklin at 12-1 and Springfield at 5-5. I know what some people may be thinking. Franklin's 12-1. Why are they not in your power rankings? Well, like I say every week, while Franklin has a very good record, beating the Southwestern Buckeye League teams are not comparable to some of the teams at West Carrollton and Butler now have wins against. That's not to say Franklin's not a good team. They are a very, very, very good, well-coached defensive team that's going to really be a problem in the tournament. But at least for our purposes in these power rankings, I just feel like I can't go off a record, and because of that, Butler. Butler keeps that five spot over Franklin. Let's move into Division 2. Division 2 is the exact same from a week ago. Trotwood at 1, Tippecanoe at 2, Dunbar 3, Fenwick 4, Alter 5. Trotwood and Dunbar, I do not have stats in front of me or confirmed game results. Trotwood, 4-1. They picked up a win over Cincinnati Taft Saturday, 82-77. The Rams, even with that loss, actually... they also had a game against Meadowdale as well. I'm sorry, I almost forgot that. Held off a Meadowdale possible upset for the Rams. And what that Meadowdale game told me was that Trotwood maybe isn't where we thought. Again, like I said in our previous week, it's very difficult to move the Rams around at this point. They haven't played near as many games as our second-ranked team. But... there's no denying that that Meadowdale game definitely raised some eyebrows if I'm a Trotwood fan. So coming in at number two this week, Tippecanoe. They had a fairly easy week. They beat Greenville twice, 57-35 and then 78-34. And then they beat Fairborn 74-43. For Tip, they have a very busy week ahead of them. They've got... in their next four games, I know Troy is on there. They've got Butler twice. I believe they've got Sydney as well. They've got a very busy next four games. And if they can get through those four unscraped, I can't talk today, guys. I'm sorry. If they can come out of there with wins and be 17-0, it may be time to move them to one. They're right there. They're very close. They're closing this gap between 1-2 with them and Trotwood. Dunbar still undefeated last we checked, but I don't have a lot of their stats in front of me. I know they played Stivers, Hughes, and Meadowdale this past week. I don't have confirmed results on those yet. Fenwick kind of hit the losing streak this week. Their first games of 2021, they fell to Alter 54-41 and then got beat up pretty bad by Lakota East 66-35. Lakota East was a game they picked up. They were supposed to play Roger Bacon that game, and it got postponed. For the Falcons, it means that they go 500 with Alter for the regular season. Obviously, Lakota East, you can't blame them. That's a D1 team that they lost to. For Alter, you may be wondering, okay, why is Alter lower than Fenwick if they just beat the Falcons? I'm going to give Fenwick another week to try to show. Since they didn't play a lot of games recently due to some cancellations and postponements, it's kind of unfair that their first game of 2021, after all those breaks, they get beat by Alter to drop them. We'll give them this week, see if they can get some revenge. If they struggle this week, then it's going to be Alter next week moving up. The Knights, besides beating Fenwick, got a giant win over Purcell Marion, 85-34. Purcell just not really been that solid of a team this year. It's not a super impressive win for the Knights, but it's a GCL win, and when you can win by 40-plus in the GCL, it's saying something. In our honorable mention this week, Benjamin Logan at 7-6, Waynesville at 7-7, and Oakwood at 10-3. To be honest with you, Ben Logan and Waynesville are dangerously close to dropping off this list, especially the Spartans. They were 7-5 a week ago. They're hitting some losing patches right now. They're not playing the easiest schedule in the world, but some of these losses that they've had are kind of questionable. For Oakwood, they continue to climb in the right direction. Monroe is right on the outside of this list to possibly come back in. CJ on the outside of this list trying to come back in. And Ponitz. So those three are right on the outside looking in, trying to crash the top, the three honorable mention list. And any of these teams can easily do it, especially if Ben Logan and Waynesville struggle this week. So moving to Division 3, this should come as no surprise to anybody. We have a new number 1 this week. Number 1 will be Preble Shawnee, 2 will be Greenview, 3 Springfield Shawnee, 4 Miami East, 5 Anna. Let's talk about Preble Shawnee here. Last week we talked about Greenview having the nod because of their wins, their quality wins. While Preble Shawnee didn't necessarily pick up a quote-unquote quality win this past week, the Arrows continue to win basketball games. I decided to bump them up a spot. They picked up two relatively closer wins this week. They beat Dixie 54-48 and Carlisle 59-50. It's a little bit concerning seeing two Buckeye Division teams like that by a combined 15 points. Definitely thought Preble Shawnee would beat Dixie by more. Dixie hasn't been the best team this year, but they have found ways to compete. Carlisle, we knew that was going to be a tough test. That's a little bit concerning, but you know, Preble Shawnee continues to be led by freshman Mason Trout, so we're going to keep them in that top two, now number one team, actually. Greenview and Springfield Shawnee did not play this week, both of them on byes. Greenview plays this week. They play Springfield Catholic Central tomorrow. Springfield Shawnee doesn't play again until February, so that's going to be a little bit questionable how the Braves are going to play once they get back to getting into basketball season. Miami East holds a number four spot. They went 500 for the week. They beat Covington 49-48 and lost to Milton Union 60-53. The Covington win, with it being close, it's not really that much of a concern. The Cross County Conference, some of these teams do find ways to keep it close. Covington's the type of team that they will play a little bit slower, much to like you see in a lot of schools at the Division IV level. And really, unless you're Tri-Village this year, there really is no absolute monster besides Tri-Village. And so really, even your second and third best teams, which in this case are Miami East and Arcanum, they're both very beatable in terms of playing other teams and it being slowed down. For Miami East especially, you have to remember that they start quite a few freshmen in their starting lineup. And while we are in almost through January, and there's been a lot of time to grow, they're still freshmen. It's still not going to be as simple as just going out there and winning basketball games, because you're playing teams that, yes, they may have a worse record, but you have a lot of seniors, which Covington has quite a few seniors on their roster. One of the things when it comes to seniors is you're not going to beat a team full of seniors very easily, especially when you get closer to the end of the season and tournament. This is something that's going to be worth keeping an eye on for Miami East when they get into the tournament. And when Seth and I do our bracketology for Division III, that's going to be something worth looking at, is who their matchups are, because games like this are a little bit of a concern, but it's not a surprise. Milton Union lost, that wasn't a surprise. Milton Union's finally, you know, playing quite well. They kind of didn't start off necessarily the best earlier in the year. They started to get their gel together and kind of get going, and now they're in the winning ways. And then Anna rounds out the final spot this week. They picked up wins against Fort Loramie 59-51, beat Houston 83-54, and lost to West Liberty Salem 56-53. Anna continues to be the big question mark of this division. It seems like whenever they are winning, they are very, very good. And then they lose games like West Liberty Salem, which I would have picked Anna to win that game based off how they've performed this year. For the Rockets, again, is it a really large concern? No. The outside looking in this week, Arcanum at 10-5, Dayton Christian at 10-5, West Liberty Salem at 8-6. Anna's wins are better than Arcanum and Dayton Christian's, so they are fine for this week. Beating Fort Loramie and having a win against Botkins is definitely going to be tough for any of these teams to kind of get over. So for the Rockets, it's going to be pretty simple. They're number five, but as we get into the tournament, my big concern with them is which Anna team are we going to see come tournament? Are we going to see the team that beat Botkins and just beat Fort Loramie? Or are we going to get a team that lost to West Liberty Salem? I don't know. Or the Anna team that lost three games in a row there right at the beginning of the new year? I don't know. Big question marks there. Division four, we have a little bit of movement, but nothing major here. Tri-Village is still your number one ranked team at 16-0. Number two this week will be Cedarville at 13-1. Three is Botkins at 13-2. Four, Jackson Center at 13-4. Five, Minster at 11-4. Tri-Village continues to just dominate and dominate and dominate. They beat Arcanum 47-35. They beat Twin Valley South 69-38. And then beat Northridge 65-34. What this Northridge game specifically told me is Tri-Village is definitely not the same team we saw last year. Northridge brings a lot of athleticism, a lot of running gun. They've got some size in Cameron Evans, who's 6'5". Antoine Jacobs, that phenomenal score for the Polar Bears. Northridge brings a team that is not really comparable to what the Cross County Conference brings to the table. And for Tri-Village to win by 29 points in that game says a lot about this team. Beating Arcanum only widened the gap between the Patriots and whoever's going to be in second place in the Cross County Conference. This week, with the wins, Lane Sarver, their star junior, hit the 1,000-point club. So congratulations, my gosh, I cannot talk today, to Lane for that accomplishment. And we'll see what the Patriots continue to do. Cedarville, they picked up some really good, this is probably the second straight week that the Indians have played where they've gotten some wins and really helped their case for proving they belong in the top two. They beat Springfield Catholic Central 44-37, beat Fairbanks 59-49, and then their most impressive win beat Legacy Christian 65-47. For the Indians, these are wins that they needed to win, frankly. We have talked about, I don't know how many times, how the Indians didn't really have a big-time quality win up until recently. And their loss against Northeastern was kind of a head-scratcher as to how they had lost that game. We are now seeing that they're winning basketball games. Maybe they do belong in the conversation. Botkins drops a spot, but can you blame them? They lost to Fort Loramie 49-40 in a hard-fought game up at Botkins. And then they beat New Bremen 55-44. For this Botkins team, it was hard to drop them because we've seen this team play now twice. Even in the Fort Loramie loss, they looked solid. My concern with them is going to be, come tournament time, if they get into a bracket with Fort Loramie or Jackson Center, are they going to be able to claw their way out? Jackson Center gave them two very hard-fought games, and Botkins already beat them twice. You all know our saying about beating a team three times in the same season, and Jackson Center tends to find a new gear and a new way to play come tournament time. Fort Loramie definitely has shown the season with their record. While their record may not be as great as these other teams, they've played quite a tougher schedule, arguably. If they get pitted in a bracket with Botkins, now that they just recently played them, are they going to be prepared for the Trojans as well? There's question marks with this Botkins team, but there's no denying when you look at who they have played this year and how they've played, they belong in this top three. And really, if Cedarville has another questionable loss, Botkins is probably going to move right back up. At this point, though, I think it's fair to say, regardless of how those two teams fare, it's going to be very tough, even if Tri-Village loses a game, for either of these teams to jump over the Patriots the way they're playing right now. At number four, Jackson Center. They picked up three wins this week, beating Houston 64-29, Fairlawn 60-44, Marion Local 46-36. The Shelby County League games against Houston and Fairlawn, those are not surprises. Houston has just really struggled. We're just going to put it at that. And Fairlawn hasn't fared out near what we expected them to be this year. The Marion Local game's a lot more of an impressive win for the Tigers. At 13-4, they definitely are, in my opinion at least, with a nice cluster of teams after these top three. Jackson Center has kind of shown they are that leader of that little cluster of five teams or so. So they deserve that. Minster, I don't have their wins in front of me from this week, but they did win several games. Again, they're 11-4. They're in control, or at least near control, of the Midwest Athletic Conference. Our honorable mentions this week, again, these honorable mentions aren't in order. It's just the three teams. St. Henry at 11-4, Fort Loramie at 11-6, and Springfield Catholic Central at 11-3. So that will wrap up this week's power ranking update. Again, it's a short episode this week, but just decided to keep it a little bit short after we've had Seth and I had quite a busy week this week. We will be calling a game Wednesday and possibly Friday. We will have that on our Twitter page as soon as that becomes available. In the meantime, go check out our website, SWOFCP.com, to check out all the recent game recaps that we've posted. You know, any game that Seth and I go to, we post a recap of the game. I spend a lot of my spare time watching film on teams with the goal that every team will have at least one written piece on our website by tournament draw. It's a very lofty goal, and we're only about 20. We only have about 27 more teams to watch. So, best of luck to us on that. But that being said, you know, if you are a team and you know that I've tweeted about your team or I've tweeted about you individually, there's a good chance that I've watched your team play, and that's how I know about you as a player. So go check out our website. If you have a question, if you don't want to go through all of the articles and you just want to know, I'm more than happy to send it to you. Again, all this is free content. So anything I can do to help any players that I've written about be able to get access to see what I've written about them, let me know. We do have some exciting news, hopefully, in the next couple of days. Seth and I are working on a very big project. And if it goes the way I'm hoping it goes, it's going to be something that we haven't seen in the Dayton area in quite a long time. And then all conference selections. Last year we did, Seth and I did certificates for the players. We will have that again this year, but it will not be a print copy because of COVID. If you are selected as an all-conference player, we will make sure to let you know. And if you want your certificate, we'll give it to you electronically. It just was, I loved doing it last year, but with COVID, we're not able to necessarily see everyone that we want to see this year. And it's just easier to do it electronically and versus going in person. So that'll wrap up this episode of Southwest Ohio Full Court Press. I want to thank you again for tuning in. As always, feel free to reach out with questions or any suggestions, and we will catch you on the flip side. This is Tony Peters signing off. Have a great week.